you know, no need, hopefully, to do a whole shot on pornography. Put a filter on it. There doesn't need to be a need to do a whole session on, you know, morals and money and those kinds of things. We hear the finest preaching this side of heaven. But this last week, a friend of mine, a blast from the past, was going through a very, very difficult time. And because of the time difference, he had called and we spoke a few minutes, and then I kind of woke up and then sent him back an email. And just the way I signed the email, he called me a couple days ago, just tears, and made a decision. He's going to do what's right. And the way I signed that email, I said, "Your brother and friend." And so I want to talk just a couple moments this morning about building strong alliances. Because I'm finding the longer I live for God, especially having lived and experienced life after the woodshed. You don't know what that is? That's discipline. That you need to understand that in this fellowship, relationships, real friends are the currency of life. And so I want to read a very well-known passage of Scripture. I really do trust, and I know in my soul this will be very, very much time well spent for all of us. Because just because you drink coffee with somebody, just because you greet somebody at a store when you get gas, that does not make them a friend. That's an acquaintance, and there's a major difference we're going to find out. So let's look at this for just a few minutes, and then we'll let God have His way. 1 Samuel 18 and verse 1, the Bible says, "And when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Saul took him that day and would not let him go home to his father's house anymore. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan took off the robe that was on him and gave it to David with his armor, even to his sword and his bow and his belt." May God bless and honor this time together. We as men, we as brothers, and we as a fellowship of friends. Father, touch every man in this place this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're looking at this story. We've heard it preached, no doubt. We've heard it taught before. But this, if you really will, play it out. It is without a doubt, besides Jesus Christ, a friend who stays closer than any brother, this is the most strong, this is the most amazing friendship in all the Scriptures. It was an alliance, yes, but it helped both of these men to grow. And so this is what you want to kind of put your mind on as you're, you know, digesting the burritos from heaven. Friendships do not just help you. Some of you, you could say, "Well, I don't need..." Friendships help both. And so friendships today, more than ever, they are incredibly important, my brothers. You need to have friends. You must have friends. But that being said, you have to build friends with the right people. Amen. So the first thing we want to look at, and we always look at the, not so much the negative, but the problem with an unholy alliance, or the problem with not a good friend. How many has heard it said from our pastors, or even someone maybe that's talking to you, we really do become somewhat like people we hang out with? It is always amazing to me that people I know, when they go to preach somewhere and they do something, they come back with certain mannerisms and they actually talk like the hosting pastor or something where they come from. So even though you may not be cognizant of this, the people that we're around, the people that we associate with, we pick up little nuances. We pick up little things that become a part of our personality and a part of how we do. And you can see sometimes when it's negative, you can see the change really quickly. I cannot tell you how many people in how many places, not just in America, although unfortunately more than most places in the world, But how many people in a prayer line or if somebody answers a call of a backslider and they begin to open up for prayer, it's because they built on the wrong friendships. Amen. So this is a principle that you will begin to change around other people. So spending quality time, spending time with the right person is critical. Now as I'm looking across this many men, I cannot say most because I'm not that quick to do the mathematics, but many of us are married. And when you get married, you're not any longer one of the homeboys. Sorry to break the bubble. You're not one of the dudes. But you just can't go and do whatever you want and leave your wife at home. That's why as we mature in Jesus Christ, we get married, most of our time is spent with our wife or our family. So that's why it's very critical that the time that we do spend with other men, the friendships that we begin to build as a Christian, they actually become even more crucial, more important as the years roll by. Amen. So if you, being a newer convert, or maybe you've been saved for a while, it's irrelevant. It is very, very dangerous to link yourself and spending time with an unbeliever. We cannot help it because we work around them, right? And we're not talking about to disassociate ourselves from sinners. We don't do that. We don't just, you know, put ourselves in the bubble. We reach out to them. But I'm telling you, I cannot fathom when I'm traveling and I've got the day to study and I go to get a feel for the city and witness and outreach. Can I tell you, sinners are much more evangelistic than we are? And you may not pick this up. I'm telling you right now, you begin to spend time with the wrong people. They are very, very evangelistic. They're not going to pull out a needle. They're not going to pull out in a line of snow and you play Frosty the Snowman. But what they do, they put little suggestions. They put little nuances. They put little things out that begin to play even in a Christian man's mind. And it's very, very dangerous. So the thing we want to look at, that as you build relationships, if you build the wrong ones, it is at very, very least, it's going to hinder your walk with God. How many know, we all know people that married an unbeliever. Well, he'll get saved, or she'll get saved, or she'll come around. But I'm telling you, that is not true. We, even today, sitting here as men, it's not just in marriage. I believe it ought to be in the brotherhood that we should not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. It will affect you, brother. It will have an effect on you somewhere, somehow, down the road. The man named Samson, he had a great destiny, didn't he? He had a great anointing that was given from God. But he began unholy alliances. He began little by little by little by little. And then the day came, and a day always will come, when a man will feel the conviction. He'll shake himself, but it's too late. The reason why we can do this today, it is not too late. You need to make a point. It is not just being one of the bros. We really are a fellowship of friends. Praise God. Now let's look also quick here at building godly alliances. This story of Jonathan and this story of David, it is phenomenal because really only one of them had something to gain, and that was David. Jonathan had everything to lose. And so you may think, well, what is the deal on that? But both of them, they had a strong relationship with God. This is enough. See, I'm not saying that this is true in our church. I don't see that, thank God. But I do go to different churches, and I see cliques. It doesn't take but 2 days. Not just the same color, the same team, the same outfit, the same music. Brothers, that is not godly. God hates cliques. He hates prejudice. And prejudice, it's not a color. It's a mindset. It's an attitude. Hallelujah. Well, we'll let that one sink in. So what did Johnny, what did they have together in common? Salvation. And guess what? That was enough. They didn't have to love the same color. They didn't have to like the same team. They didn't have to like the same manufacturer. Jesus was enough. And if we as men, it doesn't change whether you're 13, whether you're 30 or 60. There is something inside every one of us. We don't like change. We do feel sometimes insecure. Looking at you guys, it's a tough crowd this morning. But I'm telling you, God wants us to have a word in season. Godly friendships will save you. And the people that you and I knit our hearts with, right? The people that we reach out to, these are the ones that need to really love God. God was the cement between Jonathan and David. That's true. But their friendship was the bond. Hallelujah. And I am amazed that even in the church of Jesus Christ, how people's family, this guy could be like a mass murdering child molester. Oh, but he's mijo. Oh, but he's got a great sense of humor. We'll make every excuse in the world for somebody we call blood, but the first time somebody in church offends you or lets you down, as I know I have, you just want to brush them off. I'm telling you right now, that not only hurts, that's not Christian. You need to be a redemptive brother. You need to be a man who will be saying, you and Jesus, him and Jesus, that's enough for us to build a relationship. And then as you do that, that becomes the bond of what real friendships are all about. Praise be to the Lord. So you have to be careful who you knit your heart with. As I said, you know, relationships, you know, seeing somebody at Robert's Market or seeing somebody when you gas up, hey man, you go in, you know, you get a cup of coffee, hey dude, how you doing, Frankie, or whatever. That's not a friend and that's not so much dangerous. It's when you begin to knit your heart with somebody. That becomes very, very dangerous because that knitting of our heart with another person, it does have an effect on us. The word to knit together, it means to join together. It means more than associate, it means like-mindedness, thinking on the same lines. Can you say amen? So if you and I, here we are this morning, you know, 8 o'clock, we're meeting for the burritos and having a great time. But you show me, not just in church, show me who you spend most of your time with. And I can pretty well show you somewhere down the road what you're going to turn into. Praise the Lord. So we have to be joined with the right people. What are you saying? Thanks for asking, young man. Don't join yourself with a rebel. When you get around somebody who's got their knickers in a knot, they're not going to say, hey, can I come and puke on you? But I'm telling you something. Sometimes somebody will say something, just a little bit of sharp chum to see how you react. And I'm telling you right now, it is deadly. You must not link yourself with the rebel. Some of you, when I first came back from Federal Way, you know, man, are you okay? Well, it's not being not okay, but I was so much under the radar, I don't want to be a bad example. You don't need sympathy when somebody's being disciplined. You need God. And emotions do get involved. And we are a group of brothers that care about each other. But I want to tell you something. You need to be very careful that you don't associate with rebels. You don't associate and link your heart with people that are in and out and in and out and up and down. Or somebody you know has a pornography problem. You know has a problem with money. You know has an issue with headship. How would you know? Just listen to them. Watch their eyes. How you doing, brother? Oh, fine. And they're looking at something. That's wrong. When you look a man in the eye. Mean what you say and say what you mean. Praise the Lord. So the way to build a relationship, it's right here in our text. It's one thing to say, hey man, what up? Up high, down low, too slow, I'm with you. But how do you know? It's because Jonathan was not only willing to use the words, he was willing to give to David, wasn't he? And this is so powerful, we would call that in our church, serving one another. Hallelujah. Verse 4, he took off the robe that was on him, and he gave it to David with his armor, even to the sword and the bow and his belt. So what is this saying? This is saying, you know what? I believe in your future. As a friend, I'm going to put you first. You are more important than this robe. You're more important than recognition. You're more important than me having all the things. Because that is what servanthood really is. That whether, and I'm looking forward to the Bible study starting up, when I was still in the doghouse, in the woodshed, you know, the Bronsons and many others reached out to me, and we went to their Bible study. I could just tell they cared. Nothing to gain. And then later on, when the restoration came, we kind of had a sending of an evangelist out of their Bible study. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you again, people know deep down if you care or not. And you may think you're on that, but I'm telling you, when life sometimes goes question mark, you are going to not only need a friend like Jonathan, right now you need to be a friend like Jonathan. That one day, maybe it's a testimony in the 180. I don't know, maybe it's singing or playing in a group. Maybe one day to be a Bible study leader or assistant. Maybe one day to go out to Pioneer Church. It shouldn't be, you're kidding. Him? It should make sense. And that is all portrayed in the area of serving one another and putting other people first. So let's close it. And that is the fact that we want to be a little bit on the what's in it for me. Godly friendships will build your Christian life. See, what we're looking at today, it's more than just who you sit by in church. It's more than just maybe who you maybe go out to coffee with and stuff like that, but really who you begin to link yourself with. As I look this morning, and I know some are in the drama and the production out there, that's tremendous serving. But you know, it's no small thing to me to see that the young men rising up are ones that they butt heads together about Jesus. They want to know what the scripture is saying. They begin to work on sermons. They're not talking about who's winning the series. They're not caring about what number this guy wears. Some guys could know every statistic about a sports team and they don't even know what John 3:19 says. I have a problem with that. Sorry. I think we ought to be a little bit more on the ball than on the ball. Can you say amen? Proverbs 18:24, the Bible says, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. Now, that means even sometimes when you don't feel like it, you will be willing to reach out. You will be willing to let someone reach into your life, and you won't be selfish. There have been times I have been just like tired, really, literally. And you go somewhere and somebody asks a question or somebody wants a prayer. You know, we need to be Christians. And we need to know that godly friendships make us strong in God. So the covenant we're bringing down, and the reason why I'm saying this, and I'm not prophesying any doom, this is good. The reason why I'm encouraging you to become a godly friend is one day you're going to need one. Would be to God it's not so. But somewhere, somehow, just like this friend a couple weeks ago, his wife had just done some just knucklehead things, his kids, life had bottomed out for this friend. And I just wrote back a small little email and says, man, I'm praying for you. Believe in God. your brother, and then capitals, like the teenagers, capital and your brother and friend, Steve. And that did something in him. It's easy to say, he's my brother, he's my brother. But what about your friend? Because Jonathan was the one who literally would have been next in line to be king. Next in line to be Bible study leader. Next in line to be door director. But he was willing to be a friend so that someone else could fulfill the will of God for their lives. And how many know that really is what our pastors preach to us every single week? That we not only hear the preaching, but we make it applicable to us. And when it all comes down to it, when every one of us needed a real friend, God sent Jesus Christ. We, while we were yet sinners, we had nothing to offer Him, right? We used to sing that song, give them all, give them all, give them all to Jesus. Shattered dreams, wounded hearts, and broken souls. It's easy to give Him all the broken stuff. What about today to make a decision to give Him the good things? Your time, your attention, your willingness, your love for another brother. Thank God you're doing well. But remember when every one of us was not doing so well, Jesus Christ became that brother, that Savior, and He gave His very life so that you and I could have a life worth living. So again, all the shots, pornography, come on, just don't die on the wrong battlefield. Put a filter on it. Put MobiSeep on your smartphone. You know, some they should call it a dumb phone. If your phone has no, it's not a smartphone, it's a dumb phone. You put a filter over your computer. Well, some of the programs won't run. You don't need those programs. Live for God. Don't associate with the wrong people. Be a man of prayer. Be a man that lives to His Word. And I'm testifying in front of all of you, if you want to make it in this church, you can. Because we have not just brothers, we have friends that pray for us, that care for us. Because we, gentlemen, we are in this thing called the will of God. We're in it together. And thank God for all of you that in my time, you were still friends. But we all need to know that all of us one day need to be that friend. We need to know one day we'll have that friend that will be willing to reach out to us at our time of need. Let's just bow our heads this morning, if we would, quickly. Not wanting to make any kind of a heavy statement this morning, I'm so appreciative of you guys. You've lived it. You've said it. You've done it. And that's being a true friend. But you see, this morning, the one that I hold dear above all is the one who stays closer than any brother. And His name is Jesus Christ. And maybe this morning as you come to this men's breakfast, you may come sometimes to church. You may know someone here today. See, our answer in life, it's not some pill. It's not some kind of a program. Your answer is a person. And His name is Jesus Christ. He loves you with an everlasting love. It doesn't matter how many times you've failed. It doesn't matter how deeply you've fallen into sin. All that matters right now is what Jesus has already done. And this morning, very quickly, perhaps you're here and you do not honestly know the joy of sin forgiven. This morning you're here and you're a backslider. Maybe you've made some wrong relationships. You've stepped off the path. Good news, sir. All you got to do is turn around. And this morning you're here. The love of God has His hands on your heart. And you're here right now, you're not saved, or you are a backslider, and you feel God's love reaching out to you, and you want to respond to that. right where you're sitting, you say, preacher, I don't understand all this about friendship, but I need one that can forgive me. I need one who knows and has seen everything I've ever done, and he still loves me. I want to respond to that. And if that's you this morning, unsaved or you're backslidden, would you lift up your hand quickly all over this place? Say, yes, I want to respond to this love. I want to respond to this friend. His name is Jesus. Right where you are, unsaved or backslidden, if you want prayer, put your hand right up, would you? Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. You put your hand right up. Put it right back down in Jesus' name. Thank God. Thank God. Then this morning, what a privilege it is to be able to be here. Each of you holds a very real, very personal place in my life. But you see, life, sometimes it forces us to make decisions. It pressures us to make choices. At the time, they might seem right. They might seem to make sense. But you see, God's Word, He Himself, He gave some, not all, but He gave some to be pastors, some prophets, some evangelists, some teachers. But He gave you to this church to be a friend. That I can tell you. That every single one of us, we're not unto ourselves. We're not an island. We separate ourselves. We get strange. And I know in this generation, it's not easy. I know sometimes it's pride or it's fear and all these things. But the friendship bridge is one that must be crossed. And it cannot be burned. It cannot be broken. Because we are always, we're a fellowship of friends. And this morning, God love you right where you're sitting. It's not that you're a bad man in any way. But it's so easy to get caught up in smack and in gossip. And so easy to hear somebody say something about somebody else and then you're into it and you're on it. But you see, this morning, God's put something real inside this men's time. I can sense the sobriety of God. He wants us to recommit to Him, yes, but to one another. And this morning, God's talking to you about building godly alliances, godly relationships, and you today are going to go on record. I'm going to be a godly friend. I'm going to be a real friend to my brothers in Christ. And God's talking to you. No one looks around, but you lift up your hand and say, yes, thank God, thank God, thank God. I want to ask you right where you're sitting to put your hands on your heart. And I want you to pray right now and say, Father in heaven, I thank you so much for this time together. This simple word that speaks hope and encouragement and yet challenge to every area of my life. Father, I make a choice to live right, to do what is upright, not only in your sight, but in the sight of others. Father, this morning, I recommit my heart to my fellow brethren. I will be faithful unto them, and I will build godly relationships, breaking the power of ungodliness and unrighteousness. Father, forgive me for any evil word of gossip or slander or jealousy. I thank you today for all that you're going to do, not only in my brothers and my friends, but also in me. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Let's give the Lord praise as our brother Anthony would come.